All right. How we doing, church? Good? All right. Excited to be here? Man, I'm back. I think I did all right. But today, just want to thank you guys so much for showing up and coming to church. And for those of you guys that are online and visiting us online, thank you so much for tuning in. Also, make sure you guys drop a prayer request. Let us know how we could be praying for you. Let us know where you're from. We'd love to intercede for you. And with that said, let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Again, so thankful to be here with you guys. Sunday was fun, wasn't it? Yeah, all right. God did a work in us. And when I received the invitation to teach tonight, I was like, man, I was telling Kendall, I was like, I'm still like coming down from what happened on Sunday. Like, I don't know what else I got in the tank. And I started to pray, and the Lord really put this text in my heart. And so I know that today is a new day, right? New mercies, fresh grace, fresh manna for us. And so, you know, I'm excited to be here with y'all and see what God would do among us tonight. I know one thing as I was praying. I know he's trying to draw out of us a deeper relationship with him. I know he's trying, he's watering the land of our hearts, trying to draw out faith, right? He's cultivating in our hearts. Like, he's like, I need to put some new soil down. I need to dig up this hard clay. I need to do something different in you, right? To produce a better, different result. And so with that said, that's kind of like the mindset that I want us to think about, I want us to have as we enter in. I know, you know, life is hard, right? Life's getting difficult for the Christian, especially with all of the darkness around us, especially with all the challenges with our kids, schools, you know, what's on TV, what they stumble upon, I mean, everything. Right? It's a darker time, and we need to be light bearers. We need to be people of the light. We need to let the light in. Amen? And so what I want to do today is, number one, I want to pray. There's a lot of people in our church that are sick, some that have gotten news that might shake their lives a little bit. And so I want to pray for those people, and I want to pray for tonight's study. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father, that we can come before you and be at your feet and do the thing that is necessary. And so, Lord, we surrender our cares, our worries, our troubles. And we confess our sin and say, Lord, we need your forgiveness. We have sinned against you and you alone. And Lord, now that we've received forgiveness, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, God. We know that. We come before you and intercede for those who are sick, for those who couldn't be here tonight because of sickness. Lord, would you send your healing touch upon them? Would you send your Holy Spirit to minister to them? To those who have received just challenging news, God, would you restore their hope? Would you keep them hopeful? Would you keep their eyes on the hope that is laid up for them in heaven? Father, we bring them to you, God, and we just ask that you would intervene, that you would change the outcome, that you would change the news, God, that you would step in and do a miraculous work, God, that we would have no other choice but to praise you and know this could only be your work. So, Lord, send a healing touch physically, spiritually, to this church and its members who are hurting and are sick. Lord, clear our minds and our hearts now as we study your word. Send your Holy Spirit to be the teacher of all things and to help me communicate in a way that is faithful to you and to your church, God. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to be starting in verse 12. I'll be reading and teaching from the New King James Version. It says this, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, in these difficult times, you've presented an option that glorifies you. You presented a way that exalts you and gives you the honor and the glory and the praise. And so, Lord, as we look at these two options today, may we make good choices. May we make the right choice. May we decide to follow you, Jesus, not looking back. So, Lord, help us. Help us understand this text in a deeper way. And draw out of us decisions that need to be made that are centered around life and your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. So verse 12, you guys probably have a little heading on there. It says the golden rule, right? And I'm kind of a weird guy where I've never... Even when I was a senior pastor of a church, I held a job. I was bivocational. And just like Pastor Bill, I think Pastor Bill was bivocational for about 15 years, right? In the beginning of this church, maybe more. But I was always, for some reason, in retail, right? I was a bartender, then I was a manager of a wireless shop. I was a teacher at a school for a little bit, but I was always in the people business. I was always surrounded and serving people outside of church, okay? And this rule was kind of the mantra, was kind of the culture that I wanted to establish within my job. The golden rule is like the one rule that we must follow as Christians, right? The one thing that is just like so evident that Jesus said so clearly to us that we must do, right? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. So simple, right? It's almost like it should be like common sense. But that has kind of gone and been redefined a little bit, right? It's like we're doing with everything else. Do unto others as you would like people to do unto you. Now, if you look at it in the King James Version, it's in the passive voice, right? And I'm like, I always look at the text and I'm like, this seems like it wants me to do something so I get something back. You feel me? Yeah. Right? Like it's there, and as you're reading, I'm like, okay, whatever you want men to do to you, okay, so it's about me, right? Whatever I want people to do to me, I need to do to them, right? But if you look at the New Living Translation, it's more of the active voice. And I know this is semantics, but I'm a geek. I'm a nerd when it comes to words and like study words. And, you know, and I was like, I wonder what it says. And I hate making things about me. I want just to do good, just to be doing good, right? And the New Living Translation says this, do to others. So it starts with us. It's a little bit more practical. It wants us to do something for other people that you would like them to also do to you. Have you ever moved from house to house? That's where you know where your real friends are, right? The people that show up to help you pack and help you move, man, those are the servants. They deserve a cookie. Maybe some pizza, right? Do unto others. Go be doers. The Bible calls us to be doers of the word. It's an action word, right? Just like we learned on Sunday, we need to be active Christians with an active faith. Therefore, go and do unto others. Don't expect anything in return. The Bible tells us when we lend to people, right, we should not expect them to pay us back. We're lending, even our scripture for our missions for Camargo is that, right? Whoever lends to the Lord, who has pity on the poor, lends to the Lord, and he will repay us back. So the question is, how are we proactively doing this? How are we living a life of active faith? If Jesus here, in the red, you have to treat the red as instructions, right? As things to do and things not to do. And the things that we should be doing are very important. So how are we doing unto others? Forget the last part. I repent. Don't forget the last part. Do it both, right? But I want you to pay attention on doing unto others. I want you to pay attention. I want you to focus on that. Because doing that, actively participating in that, you're honoring God. Forget if they treat you good. Because here's the thing, is I can treat everybody with kindness at work. I can be the best employee. I can be the hardest outworking employee at work. I can lead by example at work. but they're not going to treat me as I treat them. They have a different standard. They're like, oh, there's try-hard Hector, you know. There's a goody two-shoes Hector. There's a pastor Hector. You know, like my boss told me after I locked alone this evening, I got here late. He's like, go get your Jesus on. I was like, I almost said it. But you're darn right. You know, I'm going to go get my Jesus on. I'm going to go do what I've been called to do. He's like, wait, you're teaching tonight? I was like, yeah, I got like an hour to get here. You're over here trying to put some pressure on me, Pharaoh. You know, like I always call him Pharaoh. He's like, more bricks. You don't got any sand today. You know, I'm like, Pharaoh, dude, you got to let me go, man. You know, but as I look at this, you know, at church, how can we proactively do unto others as we would like done unto us? For us and my family, my girls, we have to go to sleep early on Saturday. It means no Canelo fights. It means no watching El Clásico at night. Chivas and Guadalajara, they play like at 9 o'clock at night. That means the game's going to end at 11, right? But I got to get the girls in, prayed up, and in their beds, because we got to get up at 6:30 to be out of the house by 7:30 to be here by 8. Now, do I have to be here by 8? No, service doesn't start till 9. Why am I here at 8? Why don't I just tell my wife, oh, you just take your car and I'll see you over there? It's because if I was a betting man, which I am, I bet you that there is some work to be done here at 8 a.m. Something, someone's not going to show up, you know, someone's going to have an emergency, anything, right? So let's get here at 8 and let's see what happens. Let's see what the Lord does. Let's see what need we could meet, right? The worship team gets here at that time. Here we go. We get here. Hey, do you need anything? No. Do you need anything? No. Okay, cool. Let's just fellowship. Let's hang out. That's good, right? What about at home? Men, do you get home and you just call it a day, like kick off your shoes and not take out the trash, not do the dishes? We need to lead by example. Just because we clocked out doesn't mean we treat our first ministry as a second ministry. Our first ministry is our kids. Yeah, we went to work. Yeah, we provided for them, right? Carol today was like, we're leaving. I said, I'm providing for our family, you know, and Pharaoh won't let me go, you know, so pray. And that's why we got here a little late. But at home, what ways can we serve our family? Like when it's raining and the trash cans need to be put out, what am I going to go in there and tell little 10-year-old Lucy, hey, Lucy, go take out the trash. It's raining, Dad. I said, I don't care. Do it. You know, no. You know, I'm going to get home and I'm going to be like, well, I'm not going to put my kids to do something that's already hard to do and put that burden on them. I'm just going to go do it. Find ways, and then, dude, you should see them. As soon as, like, someone's like, who took out the trash? And Carol's like, Daddy did. And they come in rushing, thank you so much. You know, I'm like, yeah, because it was raining. I'm going to sit there and watch it, like, get pleasure out of it. Just let's see, hopefully she doesn't fall. You know, no, right? What about at work? Do we volunteer to do the things that no one else likes to do? Like clean the bathrooms. Leave the bathrooms better than when you first got there. Right? Man, that's one thing that I'm like man, you look at the trash, everybody's like a bad basketball player. Like everything's on the ground. It's like, dude, it was right there. Like you didn't even have, you could have like reached in and just dropped it in, but it's all over. So I go and like I grab a couple I've learned how to do this without being sicko, right? So I go and grab some napkins and I put all the trash together with my feet, pick it all up and throw it in there, you know, or cleaning the bath, like the vanity and the sinks and everything, making sure it's clean. No one wants it. You're like, they have janitors for that. No, you do that. Leave it better, right? Leave it better. What about in conflict? Are we always looking for ways to be like, oh, that person burned me, so I'm not gonna be friends with them? Or are we looking for ways to resolve it? Looking for ways to reconcile in conflict? Do we make it difficult? Do we make it difficult to be in harmony where we work, where we live, and where we worship? Are we making it difficult, or are we helping in those areas? Ask yourself that question. How can you make church better? How can you make work better? How can you make your home better? Church, this verse is a proactive verse, a verse that requires preparation and application. If you're not preparing to get to church early, you're not going to be early, right? So we have our kids pick out their wardrobe beforehand. That way there's no arguments either, right? Before you leave. You can't wear that. Oh, man, I picked this out last night. Tears go everywhere, right? No. Hey, what are you wearing tomorrow to church? Okay, cool. Put it aside. Make sure it's clean. Make sure it's ironed, whatever. Prepare yourself to do good, right? This verse, the application of this verse, confirms what you believe in. Jesus said it affirms the law and the prophets. That means you're collectively doing, right, everything. He said that about the two commandments, right? Love your Lord, God, with all your heart, mind, and soul, and spirit, right? And also love your neighbor as yourself. When all these things, the law and the prophet hangs. Well, he said that about that, and he says it here. Like, hey, do this also. Do good unto others. Nobody said that it's going to be easy. We're not promised ease in this kingdom work. Kingdom work is difficult. It means coming alongside someone and helping them bear their burden. It's like, hey, you're going through something right now. Let me come alongside of you. Let me help you, right? Hey, you're hurting right now. Can I bring some aid? Can I be a medic? Can I help you in a certain way? Can I pick up a burden for you? Like, hey, let me know if there's a burden that I can take off your plate while you go through this. I might not be able to do all of it, but maybe I could help out with this area or that area of what you're going through right now. Galatians 6:2 says this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Again, Jesus said it, like, hey, on all these things, if you just do these two things, you'll fulfill what the law and the prophets require of you. If you do this one thing, you fulfill on all these things, the law and the prophets hang. And then Paul said it to the Galatians, hey, if you just bear one another's burdens, you will fulfill the law of Christ. This mindset is so different than what the world has to offer. It's like Jesus is putting two different ways before us in this text, right? He's telling us what to do, right? And then he goes on to paint a picture of two different ways. He says, verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Notice how it's a singular gate. It's one gate. It's a narrow gate. It's almost like a single file gate. Like it all bottlenecks and then it just kind of goes in single file. Why? Because there's only one way to get in. John 14:6 says this, I am the way, Jesus is talking. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Very singular, right? One way, one truth, one life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. At the end of that single file line, Jesus is there. And the only way to get into the kingdom, the Father's kingdom, a kingdom made with the hands of God, is through Jesus. John 10:9 says, Jesus is saying, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And they will go in and out and find pasture. Again, very singular way. Very narrow way. Jesus is not saying, hey, you kind of got to do this and you kind of got to do that. No. It's one way. It's the way of Jesus. In contrast, the world presents other options. It's like, I don't know if you guys are from California, but it's like the 405 or the equivalent here would be somewhere in Dallas. It was like five lanes, right? And you got the Autobahn on the underground. I think it's a 635, right? You go like 120. I think that's how fast I was going. But it was the most crazy thing. You got four lanes on top and you got two lanes on the bottom and there's no cops. And you're just like, what is happening here? Everybody's going, you're just like, oh my gosh, it's going so fast here. You know, it's like an invitation. It's like McLaren's only. Like, come on. If you have a Porsche, if you have a McLaren, if you have a Ferrari, go in this part of the freeway, right? It's fun. And there I am in my truck, and everybody's passing me up, and I'm just like, I'm not going to go that fast, man. But that's the way of the world. They want to get somewhere fast and quick, like quick and easy, right? They want money quick and easy. But easy come, easy go. I've learned that. Easy come, easy go. And guess what? Broad is that way. There are many ways. It's like a multi-lane free highway, right? Where you just got everybody's going one way and there's nothing stopping them. There's no friction, if you will. The Broadway has no friction. No one's gonna be like, hey, slow down. Everybody's like, no, step on it, red line, let's go, you know? They want you to go fast. They want you to continue in your compromise. They're not going to put up walls. Remember we talked about the walls that were separating us between us and God in Colossians, right? That there's barriers. And God, in sending his son to die on the cross, has removed those barriers so that we could have a relationship with the holy God. That is the way of Jesus. The way of the world. Now, this side's the bad side. Sunday, the bad side was over here. This side, right? There's no friction. There's no friction. No one telling you to stop doing what you're doing. No one telling you to stop sinning. Everybody's encouraging you. Have another shot. Another round. You know? Let's do it. And everyone is encouraging a path that leads to destruction. You know, what I love about the Bible is that God didn't keep it clean. Like, there's some people that have messed up royally in this thing. Right? It's like, imagine like you're going to create a book that is going to lead people to heaven. You're just like, oh man, let's sanitize this thing. Let's keep this, let's put some Lysol on it. Let's make it so pretty. Maybe it'll be a bestseller. You know, like, let's do something, like, let's present something like totally clean. No. Genesis 13:10. It's a guy named Lot. We talked about this on Sunday, right? He lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Soar. You're like, what's so bad about that, Hector? Broad is the way. Wide is the way. It looks good. It looks good. Right? It looks like the garden. The Bible says it declares that they look like the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was perfect. It looks amazing. And that's where Lot went. It led to destruction. What about Abraham? Right? Receives a promise from God. God's like, dude, I'm going to make you the father of so many nations. Like, your people are going to be numbered like the sands of the sea. It's going to be amazing. You are going to have an offspring. And the game of multiplication will blow your mind. And Abraham and Sarai, what did they do? They took things into their own hand. Oh, this is God. I think God wants to He wants us to take things into our own hands. So why don't you go do your thing with Hagar, and maybe that's the way we'll make God's truths come to life. See, again, we try to take things into our own control. We try to manipulate the will of God to make us look good, or to try to make God. Number one, you can't make God look good. You can't make God look good. You make God look gracious and merciful. He's already beautiful. And here they are, and they go, and he does his thing in Genesis chapter 16, and he births Ishmael. He births a son of the flesh. It looked good. It looked like a good idea. But in the end, it brought forth death. See, whether you look at, and I kind of, something that I learned while studying for this is that Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25 is the same verse. Interesting, isn't it? And what does that verse say? There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. See, sin seems right to the man. Sin seems right to the Christian. I'm just going to... my boss, before I left, sorry, this is so fresh on my mind, right? He's like, can't you just tell, look, rates just dropped, bro. You're going to leave this meat on the table? I was like, bro, I have food that you know not of. I'm going to go seek that. And he's like, can't you just tell a little white lie? No, man, I can't just tell a little white lie, especially if I'm going to go preach the gospel. You know, I'm not going to sit here and send my little heart out right before I go and get up. You want me to die or something? Scripture is so faithful. I love that it interprets itself. It brings clarity. Verses bring clarity to each other. And we, you know, after looking at the life of Lot, looking at the life of Abraham, looking at the proverb that's telling us, hey, and looking at what Jesus said, right? It all comes back to Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that what? Both you and your descendants, both you and your offspring, both you and your family would be blessed. That they would live, the Bible says. The problem isn't that we don't know this already. The problem is that we're not applying this already. It's one thing to know, and it's one thing to apply. I know I have to be here at 8 a.m. on Sunday. What am I applying to do that? Right? Look at verse 14 again. He says, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. What does that say? This is not a popular thing. Christianity is not popular. It's not like, oh man, let's make God so popular. Let's make God, let's sanitize God. Let's present a good product. Let's not talk about sin. Let's not talk about the blood of Jesus. You know, let's not talk about all the gruesome things. Let's just talk about how good God is and how much he loves us and how much you don't need to repent. No. No. It's not popular. It's not meant to be popular. The way of Jesus, the carrying of your cross, doesn't seem appealing to the world. You think you're going to go up to your unsafe worker and be like, hey, I need you to carry your cross, bro. Like, what? They're going to be like, what are you talking about? I need you to serve others. I need you to come early, and I need you to behave. I need you to do good unto others as you would like them to do good unto you. They'd be like, no, man. What are you, you're tripping. Like, I'm not going to do that. What do others have to do? They're not paying my bills. How many times have you heard that? That's their job. That's why they get paid the big bucks. I mean, we even have a generation that's silent quitting. Have you heard of that? Where they do the bare minimum for as long as they can, not seeking any type of promotion, not seeking any type of accolades, any type of, you know, certificates or anything. They're just trying to do the bare minimum and coast under the radar to get paid the same thing. I know this generation is like creative. I got to give it to them. Like they like know how to finagle the bagel, if you will, right? But the following of Jesus is not a popular way. It's not the most traveled path. He says the gate, the narrow gate is because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Okay, we're singular and it's difficult. I kind of like that. Because if it was easy, kind of like, you know, being miserable. I'm just kidding. You know, I think it's good that it's difficult. And there are few who find it. Jesus is making some very contrasting statements between two worlds. Ultimately, we have a decision to make. But here's what I want you to think about. It's not just, let's choose life and not death, right? Because we like that, you know? I choose Jesus, I don't choose the grave. I want good, I don't want bad, right? But what I'm trying to bring out of you is the journey. The journey to hell. The journey to heaven. It's not just like, hey, I'm going to send my little heart out and have all the pleasure in the world, and who cares if I go to hell? I'm trying to draw out of the church hey, let's enjoy this journey with Jesus. Let's see what he's up to. Let's go. I think I forgot what theologian said. Hey, go find where the Spirit is working and go there. Like, go there. Go find out what he's doing. One day we had, we were at Greg Laurie's church, and we went out to Riverside, which is right where his church is, and we went out to evangelize, right? And I was like fresh. I was probably like 4 months into, being a Christian. And we go and, you know, I had big, huge things in my ear and tattoos, and I looked like a hippie. And, you know, I attracted people. Like, people would come up to me, they would talk to me. I was like, hey, let's talk. What soccer team do you like? Just wearing jerseys and start a conversation. And all of a sudden, they're on their knees praying to receive Jesus. And it's like, it was crazy, the work that God was doing, right? And then, I mean, we had a travel. I mean, we had to go through the 91. The 91 is terrible in California, right? But we had to get from Costa Mesa to Riverside, and that was a good hour and a half. Toll road, even, right? And when we finished, we'd all meet back at Greg Glory's church, and we all got in a circle. And we all held hands, and we started to pray. We're like, Lord, those people that you touched, would you preserve them? Would you keep them? Kind of like the Colossians prayer, like, would you fill them with the will of God in their lives? That they would be strengthened, that they would have all the blessings, they would know that they have a gift, that they're to minister to that gift, you know, calling them out, just prophesying over those people, right? And then my buddy, his name's Brian McDaniel, he's crazy, bro. Like, if you think, like, Paul, you know, this is Paul. Like, I think of him, he's in Haiti right now. He's a pastor in Haiti. White dude, married a Haitian woman, beautiful kids, and they live in Haiti, right? And he's holding my hand, and I'm, like, trying to keep it together. I'm like, in tears, and he just starts, like I'm like, bro, what are you doing my hand? He's like, bro, look. And I'm like, what? And I look, and in the middle of the circle, like, three doves just sitting. Three white doves just sitting. Bro, it's the Holy Spirit. I know it. I was like, what do we do? Like, I'm like fresh out of becoming a Christian. I was like, what do we do, bro? He's like, start praying in tongues. I'm like, great. Like, the one thing I was like, what's going to happen? You start speaking in tongues? I'm like, no way, bro. This is not good. I don't know what to do now, right? I'm freaking out. But we saw, like, God's presence was there. It was crazy. It was radical. That's the journey. Like, starting out, like, little things, like experiences, like going to Wales and hearing people, you know, worship God. And, you know, shout to the Lord. Like people my age think that song is like, whatever, right? I'm like, dude, that song. Powerful. That song has a memory in my head of seeing God's Spirit fall on a tent and seeing people baptized in the name of Jesus by His Holy Spirit. That's the journey. All throughout the Bible, we're given examples of how faith affects the journey. The main one that I always look at, like, and knowing that I have to choose two things, I always go back to this, and it's Psalm 1. And it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Right? Again, he's telling us what not to do here. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates on it day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly, they're not so. So again, we're contrasting two different ways, right? But they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I love the contrast. Again, it's not just good and bad. It's the journey to good and bad. It's the journey of not walking with the world, but walking with Jesus, right? We have the ability to be false prophets, church. What's a false prophet? Someone, according to Jesus, someone who seems like a Christian, someone who acts like a Christian, who dresses like a Christian, maybe has some cool Christian mugs at home, stickers maybe on the car. My wife won't let me put a Christian sticker on my car because she says I'll stumble people. How sad is that? Oh, by the way, I'm a pastor here. My name is Hector Mora. You know, but she's like, you know, think about it. We're representing something, right? We're representing something. And when we're a false prophet, we're doing one thing with some people and doing something totally different with others. We're living two different lives. You think the false prophet that Jesus describes here went home and is like, okay, I can stop, you know, like I have to keep being a good little Christian. No, he's like, no, I could relax now. I could be who I am. I could be the false prophet. I'm not in front of a bunch of church people anymore. I can, you know, kick off my boots and do what I want to do. Does that sound familiar? We can't be, we are the false prophets. When we come to church and say, oh man, I'm so blessed, blah, 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 blah. And then you get home and you act like a heathen, right? Or you go to work and you act like a heathen. Or you're at school or wherever you go and you're living two different lives. That's the picture that Jesus is describing in verses 15 through 19 to 20. But guess what? Jesus says it here. He's like, your fruit is going to rat you out. Your fruit, you who are a false prophet, you who are living a double life, you who come to church and you're all nice and everything, and then when things hit the fan, guess what? All of a sudden, you're in the flesh again, right? Your fruit. The fruit, I love the fruit of conflict. Oh, conflict? You know, you will find out a person's true colors in conflict. At work, at home, at church, when conflict comes out, it's like turning the light on with a bunch of cucarachas to just go everywhere, right? It's like, no. Don't bring the light in. Don't bring the light on my sin. I love that Jesus says, by their fruits you will know them. The fruit of their life will rat them out. I know it's kind of ghetto, but they will rat them out. It's gonna unveil to them who they really are. So Jesus says, beware of them. Beware of them. Be alert, be cautious. One of my friends is like, you know, she says, they were legit until they weren't. Like, yeah, so you had to kind of have to test it, right? You kind of have to test it. And Paul even says, hey, there's some spirits. You got to test the spirits. You got to see it. You got to be Bereans. Is this guy telling the truth? Is this guy teaching the truth? I know you guys, the first time I got up here, y'all were judging me. You're like, what's this guy going to say? I had to win you over like 3-4 sermons in. But this not only happens with sheep, it happens with shepherds, is what I'm trying to tell you. We got to lead by example. And luckily, I look around this room and I've been in conflict with y'all. I've been in conflict with y'all. You've seen my true colors in conflict. And see, that's why I say, like, man, I love the fruit of conflict. Because I'm still friends with you. I still love you. I still care for you. I don't care. Whatever happened, happened. Okay. Let's put it behind us and let's move forward, right? Verse 21 gets a little difficult here. Maybe I'm just going to skip that part. I'm just kidding. This section of scripture trips up a lot of people because it forces us to self-reflect, right? When he says, hey, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, to me shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So again, we have two different worlds colliding. It's like, hey, you got to choose one. It's like oil and water, right? You have to choose one or the other. Are you going to say, Lord, Lord, while living in the world? While doing what the world does? While compromising in little areas? Right? Because it's cool, because it's popular, whatever, right? There's a reason why you're compromising. Or are you going to fixate your eyes? Are you going to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night? Are you going to live a life where you don't put your cross down, where you carry your cross daily, and you seek to do the will of God? That's the two worlds that Jesus is presenting here. He's like, those who say it is one thing, but those who do it is another. They might say, Lord, Lord. They might cast out demons in my name. They might do miracles in my name. But if they're not carrying their cross, they're not going to enter in. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's heavy. That causes us to self-reflect a little bit. That causes us to look in the mirror. The first question should be, am I practicing lawlessness? Look yourself in the mirror. Let that marinate for a little bit. If there's one practice I would have you do is wake up in the morning, brush your teeth because they stink, and look in the mirror and say, are you going to practice lawlessness today? Who are you going to represent today? What are you going to apply yourself to today? Like, ask yourself that real question. Why? Because it may draw out a different result. There is a difference between doing things for Jesus, like coming to church, being part of the ministry team, serving people, right? And actually being in the will of God. That's a sobering thing. How many people do you know that served here and they've walked away? That's sobering. That's sobering. It saddens me. It's like, man, like, why? Should have gone deeper with that guy. Should have been a little bit more like asking questions a little bit more with that person. So how do we cause a shift in our lives? Verse 24. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and they do them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. See, we can always be 100% sure that if we're following this, if we're walking in the truth, if we're walking in the light as Jesus is in the light, If we're about this, if we're like, hey, I'm going to do this, no one's ever going to, like, I'm not going to question whether I'm in God's will. It's going to be natural. You're going to read a verse, and guess what? Someone's going to come up to you, be like, hey, man, I'm depressed, or this. The Lord comforts I just read it this morning. The Lord comforts the depressed. Hey, dude, man, this happened, reality, right? Hey, man, I need like $500, dude, or else I'm going to get kicked out of my... Dude, somebody gave me $500 at the altar the other day. Here you go. Literally happened. I knew that money wasn't for me. I didn't need them. I was like, what's this money for? Somebody gave me an envelope. 3 days later, dude, I'm going to get kicked out. Dude, bro, here, be blessed. Here you go. I don't need it. It's yours. I don't even know how much is in there. It's $500, exactly what I needed. See you later. Over and over, we read something, we hear something, we pray. So, God, would you use me? God, would you help me minister to this person today? And God will do it. Because he who begun a good work is going to finish it. It's not like a, You start, right? You get saved, and then boom, finish line, boom. Like, you just don't, like, hop, skip, and jump all the way across all this, you know, difficult stuff. No, he takes you through it. He walks you through it. It's difficult, but he's there. We have to be people who not just hear the word of God, but apply the word of God, do the word of God, that we would be likened to wise people. Again, the building blocks, right? The building blocks of faith. One decision, another decision, and next thing you know, you're building and building and building this life of faith, and now you become immovable. So when the storms come and they shake up your life, you get bad news, you get laid off, someone talks smack about you, someone, you know, crashes into your car at HEB, whatever, right? You're able to withstand it because you're grounded, you're founded in faith. You've done the work little by little. Your knees are all better now, right? Your ankles are strengthened, you're founded. It's just like laying a pad down and putting framing up and then putting the drywall, whatever comes next, all of that stuff, right? It takes steps. You don't just go from, you know, I got saved to I'm the perfect little Christian. No, it takes work. It takes action. We have to do. That's why it's so important to read the Word of God, that we would do the Word of God. Or else we're just walking aimlessly, Paul says, without any type of purpose. G.K. Chesterton said this: the way of the Christian has not been tried and found wanting. The way of the Christian has been found difficult and not tried. This isn't going to be easy. The message today is difficult but hopeful. Why? Because God is with us. And we can do all things through Christ, who is our strength. And we can overcome. When we are struck down, we're not destroyed, the Bible says. A wise man falls down, what? 7 times and gets up? 8. Right? We have to be those people that prove to this world that there is a better way to live. And that is with a cross on our shoulders, bearing the name and the sufferings of Jesus Christ. That at the end of the day, good or bad, you know, come hell or high water, right? We are found faithful, grounded in Him, steadfast in Him. Again, I'm going to read what, in closing here, what we studied on Sunday, just one part of it. This is why it's important to pray every day for certain things, like what Paul prayed for the Colossians. He said, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it," Colossians 1, 9 through 11, "we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." The real question that we have to ask ourselves is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus our Lord? Because if He is, then we're going to do what He called us to do. And if He's not, we're going to do what we want to do. And you are your own barometer. Your fruit will find you out. You'll know. You'll find out whether you're following Jesus or not. Wisdom is justified by her children. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today, for this word. We thank you, Lord, that for the most part, we understand it here. And Lord, you are wanting, I know it, God, I know you're wanting to draw out of us action, a different result. And so, Lord, would you help us apply your word to our lives? Would you help us do the difficult things that nobody else is doing, that we would preach the gospel through action, that when people would ask us, we would be ready to give an answer of the hope that is in us. Lord, it's both and. It is word and deed. Lord, help us be active Christians. Help us be Christians that put you on display, God, and all the things that you're doing in us, people would know and they would see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Lord, receive more glory this week. Receive more praise this week. Help us, God, be followers of the way of Jesus. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand. Jesse.